As we head toward Arizona's August primary elections, we're inviting in the candidates running in contested races to talk about why they're running and some of the key issues in their contests.
You know, it's been 24 years since Arizona has had an educator at the helm of the Department of Education.
I am a proud American Muslim woman.
That although our election system is the greatest in the world, it is still far from perfect.
We need more options for our young people, more counselors, more social workers.
Common Core's been repealed by the State Board of Ed, and now we have new standards.
And we know what's possible if we keep moving forward.
The current shortcomings of the office have left our system vulnerable to cyber attacks.
We're gonna fly, fight, and win on Election Day with your help.
Today, Steve Smith. Smith has served in the state legislature since 2011, most recently in the Senate, and now he's running in the GOP primary to be Arizona's U.S. House member in the 1st District. He became most known for leading the push for Arizona to build its own fence on the state's southern border, and he's with me to talk about that and his other priorities. Senator Smith, let's start with your passion for a border fence, a border wall. How important would that be to you if you became a congressman?
I think one of the first bills I wrote in the legislature, and so as a freshman senator coming in a few years ago, this is in 2011, the state said, well, we're broke, and the feds weren't giving us any money. So I wrote a bill. I started a website, buildtheborderfence.com, and we raised a few hundred thousand dollars. We sent it down to the border sheriff in Cochise County, Sheriff Daniels, who I think is probably the top border sheriff in the country, testified at our committee this year, last year, and I think the year before about the money that we sent him was invaluable for not only just arresting but convicting drug peddlers and smugglers and you name it, seized dozens of weapons, thousands of pounds of drugs, all because somebody actually decided to do something. When then candidate Trump came to Arizona for his very first visit in July of 2015, I greeted him when he came in and I met him and I said, well, I was building border fences before it was cool to build border fences.
There are a lot of people who feel like, yeah, they want a lot of money for a border wall, but they also want to focus on security in terms of technology. Where are you as far as that goes? Does it have to literally be a fence or can it have elements of a fence?
Oh, I think you need all the above. You almost can't build a fence straight up a mountainside. And so you've got to rely on technology that's out there. I almost liken it to a prison fence, right? If you put up a wall around a prison, well, if you don't have somebody in the tower watching, sooner or later, all the inmates will get out. And that's where Border Patrol comes in. So not only, yeah, you need a physical barrier. Of course you do. But then you need the interior defense, which is your Border Patrol, which is your court system that can move and act quickly in processing people in and out. It's your interior laws. I mean, we saw with Arizona things like SB 1070, my sanctuary city bill.
What would you want to see in terms of immigration reform? I assume you're pretty hard line, but in terms of the people who are already here, what would you want to do?
You know, I think President Reagan struggled with this, of course, as we know, and he was promised border security when he granted amnesty back in 86, and we didn't get it. And so for me, the first and foremost would have to be securing that promise that was made about 30 years ago that, nope, before we do anything else, you have to secure the border. Because the problem almost is, you know, people have been saying there's been 11 million illegal aliens in our country. I've heard that number for about 11 years, so I'm kind of thinking it's gone up, whether it's 11 million, 20 million, whatever the number is. If you don't address that, what do you do next year when another million are here? What do you do 11 years from now when there's another 11 million here? You have to address it. And so I think you have to just do what's prudent. Make sure you have a robust border security plan. And then you can deal interior in terms of, now what do we do? But it's almost like, if you have a leak, you have to shut off the water supply because you can't fix the leak if the waters just kind of keep coming in. And so that's the analogy I would give.
Do you have a specific take, though, on the DACA folks?
I don't know how you reward folks, parents that knowingly broke a law by granting quote-unquote citizenship. Should there be some kind of pathway? Should there be some kind of, way that Congress can look at them? Maybe. But again, for me, it would be nothing would happen until we actually secure the border as we were promised and, frankly, as the country needs.
See, let's talk about education. How much input should the federal government have on K-12 in the states?
I think the federal government should have very minimal input. Education, as most issues are, as our 10th Amendment, our Constitution says, is the state's issue. So certainly in the state legislature, we had unprecedented funding this past year to the tune of about $2 billion of extra money we're putting in over the next 24 months or so. But that's where I think it belongs. The federal government, again, so few programs they can actually get right, let alone something on this scale. And of course, what we do in the state legislature, we disseminate those dollars to the even the further local level. So, you know, in Arizona, we don't set, in the state legislature at least, we don't set teacher salaries. We give the money to the school boards. The, your local school district can say, well, here's what I think our teachers should be paid. We're just a thoroughfare almost of the funds, and we send it down to the most local. And that's why I think it should be as well. So, you know, I think all that money from the federal government should be block granted to the states. And the state, whatever state you are, of course, in Arizona, we want to know how much money that is and send that down to the local level. Mm-hmm. That's where I think it's best spent. And that's what I would advise, okay. Certainly if I was in Congress.
So a lot of Republicans, almost all, like the tax policy.
Yes.
But there are some who are concerned about the tariff policy. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm originally from Michigan. I had a front row seat to NAFTA and what frankly, trade can and can't do. Mm-hmm. Trade is great, but as the president keeps saying, fair trade is what we need. The auto industry was decimated throughout the entire Midwest. And so, again, it's important that we have trading partners across the country and across the world. Of course it is. And we want to continue to do that. But, again, I follow the lead that our president is giving now, which is fair trade. It has to make sense for the U.S. And if you have a massive trade imbalance with China or all these other countries that he targets, I think that's his job to go in and strike the best deal possible for the American worker.
What about specifically with Arizona and Mexico? Governor Ducey, you're an admirer of his. One of the things he's tried to do is sort of fix Arizona's relationship with Mexico by focusing on the economy and what an important trade partner that is. Anything President Trump saying about that that scares you when it relates to Arizona?
Well, Governor Ducey's doing a fantastic job. I had the pleasure of meeting Governor Pavlovich from Mexico, and the trading partnership that we have is amazing, and that's exactly what trade should look like. It's fair for both countries. It's equitable. There's a friendship there. You can almost tell, and so that's what trade should look like. I think our president, he's a master negotiator, and I think you have to look at what actually happens and maybe not so much the process. It's how you got. It's what happens at the end of the line. Maybe not necessarily how you got there. But I have faith in our president extremely, because he's made a life of doing this. It's his personality. It's his negotiating. It's whatever you want to call it. But I think he's doing a great job. And I think at the end, the American people will be the better for it.
Steve, let's talk a little bit about your district, the 1st congressional district, where you're running against some other opponents. 1st congressional district has gone back and forth. We have seen Ann Kirkpatrick. We've seen Rick Renzi. We've seen Paul Gosar. It's been an interesting mix of people, Democrats and Republicans. You've set yourself as a pretty conservative Republican in the legislature. Why do you think you're a good fit in what seems to be a swing district?
My first seat in the legislature was for the state Senate, and I won in a Democrat district. Matter of fact, I was the first Republican elected in that district, I think since statehood in 1912. You know, I defeated a Democrat dynasty who had held the seat for about 30 years. And so because I would go in to homes, to wherever I could talk to people, and just be honest with them. Here's what I stand for. Here's what I believe in. Tell me about what your position is. And if we agree, well, great. And if we don't, at least you know why I came to the conclusion I did. My wife and I don't agree on everything, so why would I expect you and I, total strangers, to agree on everything? But again, at least we can agree that on the things that we do agree with, but if we don't, we don't have to hate each other on this stuff over here. So, and I think it's what Hemingway always said, the truth has a certain ring to it, and so I think people just appreciated that. And to this day, I still have one of the widest crossovers of independents and Democrats that vote for me today than I think almost anybody else in the state because of that. I do what I say, and when people call me for help, boy, I got to tell you, Steve, I rent billboards. I put signs on the road. If you need help, call me. And I'm 100% serious. And so when folks call me, I don't check your party affiliation if they need help through navigating through their government or help. I just help people. And that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And I think people see that. And so how do you win CD1? I think you're genuine, you're honest, but you have a track record. I've shown people of all stripes, here's what I have done to benefit Arizona and the people of our state.
State Senator Steve Smith, Republican candidate in Congressional District 1. Steve, thanks.
Oh, thank you so much. God bless you.